I remember getting the email saying, hey, you will be, we're letting you know exclusively that the PS5 is going to be going for pre-order very soon. I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna get first dibs on a PS5. Oh yeah, man, I ain't get jack. I got an email like a week ago saying from Sony saying, hey, it's your turn to get a such and such. I'm like, it's my PS5. Nah, it was some damn credit card, some Sony credit card that I don't need. I don't want no credit card, so I need a PS5.
Recorded on Zoom, it's the Diamond of Truth podcast.
What's up, guys?
It was good.
Wow, so been a while, but we are back. Never should have left you without a dope pod to step to, but Diamond of Truth is back. And I want to go around the room here quickly just to see, ask one question to you all. So we'll start with, since Drew's here, Drew will be the first one I ask. Drew, were you able to pre-order a PS5?
I did not try.
Well, good. Okay, because that's probably what I thought. Ken, were you able to pre-order a PS5?
That's a big NO.
Yeah. Isaiah, what about you?
Y'all already know.
No, I didn't either. I didn't get a chance to either. I tried. Now, Vic is the last one. Now, Vic, we know you probably had better luck than us. Were you able to pre-order a PS5?
Hell no, but I have a story. I can explain a certain side of that night.
What happened that night, man?
So, as we all know, PlayStation, Sony was supposed to give us all a heads up, right? Before, you know, free balling and pre-ordering, so that's to avoid a messy mess. But Walmart decided to jump the gun. They tweeted almost immediately after Sony said, hey, we're going to open up pre-orders tomorrow, so get ready. So a lot of people by that time were like, hey, we don't have to rush and get ready. We can wait till tomorrow. And then Walmart came out with a tweet like, wait to pre-order? Nah, man, come and pre-order with us at Walmart right now. Oh my so God. They flipped the switch immediately, and then they started, it was like a domino effect. It was Walmart, and then all of a sudden Best Buy had to start, they started scrambling to get their website webpage going on, and then Target came up next. Amazon was the last one, but I mean GameStop was also swamped too. Mm-hmm. But Amazon, that was the one that I was going for, because I know that you can pay off your pre-orders through their gift cards. So I was waiting for Amazon to come up, and you know, I was just watching the chaos going on with everyone else. And then I find out that the Amazon pre-orders went live without the webpage being active. And I'm like, what the hell? Because I mean, I stepped away because I was like, maybe they'll post at midnight. So I stepped away, worked on my model a little bit, did some painting, you know, so I could dry and get the next layer on. And then I come back, like, and then I see it's all chaos. I'm like, what the hell just happened? And I find out, because I was on Reddit, and I was just like refreshing the page just to see the discussion going on. And apparently there's this guy on Twitter. The handle is Wario64. And this dude posts like nonstop affiliate links to like everything. And this dude, he had the direct link to add the PlayStation 5 into your cart, skipping the page completely. So now I actually clicked on this and I'm like, what the hell is this thing? And it literally just said add to cart. I was like, this looks sketchy as hell. So I backed out immediately, not knowing that it was a legit link to add directly to your cart.
What?
Yes.
Wow. I had that same kind of thing with Best Buy. Like I was able to get, it's the same night, I was able to get a PS5 in my cart. And then as I tried to proceed to pay for this PS5, it would not let me go to the next page. It was just, I was blocked, man. I got PS5 blocked from Best Buy's website. Like, I don't know many people that did get a PS5 that day, but those that did had to get the bundle. But just getting it that day, that was craziness, because the event had just happened. Yeah. And then that dude, Knightley, Jeff Knightley, he used to work, I think, at G4 or whatever, you know, has some insider. And then, yeah, as Vic said, it just went crazy. It was a crazy chaos. And
oh, yeah.
It
was what's the best part about Amazon though is I watched the page go live asset by asset. So I started out with the Amazon dogs, and then I saw the page before it had the pictures uploaded. And then I also saw it when they finally added comment section, and then when the pictures finally went live, and but still no button.
Yep.
I saw every little thing happen, get uploaded, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And it's been sold out. And I was like, I was watching it, I was refreshing it for like 40 minutes, and I watched it go one by one until it finally became a complete page. But yeah. The thing was, it's already been sold out for 50 minutes.
Right. And it hasn't really come back at all. Like I remember getting the email saying, hey, we're letting you know exclusively that the PS5 is going to be going for pre-order very soon. I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna get first dibs on a PS5. Oh yeah, man, I ain't get jack. I got an email like a week ago saying from Sony saying, hey, it's your turn to get a such and such. I'm like, it's my PS5. Nah, it was some damn credit card, some Sony credit card that I don't need. I don't want no credit card, Sony. I need a PS5. Okay, this thing comes out November 12th. That's like a month away. I wow. have, you know, so yeah, November 12th, the day this system's supposed to be dropping. I think a couple of days after the Xbox, which is, I think, is November 10th. So
soon.
Yeah, you know, November is the console wars. So as of right now, we will not be getting any next gen for right now, unless Sony pumps it up. But we don't know how much inventory they'll have, but. But as you heard, we have we found Drew. So Drew is back. He's here. We'll see if we can get a streak going with him. Oh man, it's good to have you back, man. So since we have done our last podcast, the last one was our anniversary one, our bottle episode. It was very good. I said that, you know, I said, guys, I wanted the first one to have the voice. I wanted to have the voice of the podcast to come on with us. So funny story, I was playing the podcast anniversary episode for my parents. We were going out of town, and so my dad heard that like on the podcast, and I said, yeah, next podcast we're gonna have the voice. My dad said, no man, the voice needs to be mysterious, the voice shouldn't be seen, you know, it can be heard in the background, but you know, he shouldn't have. I'm like, but that's not the point, man. We want to have you on. People want to know the man behind the voice. No, nah, man, the voice doesn't need to be known. It's just the voice. He said it just like that too.
So, a true artist.
Exactly. So
I'm living it.
I'm like, you're taking this to your head a little too much, Pops. Oh man, but he enjoys it. But so while we were gone, a lot of things happened while we were gone, guys. A lot of things. It's been only been about 3 weeks, I think, since maybe a little bit more since our last
only week.
I know it doesn't seem like that long. It might have been a month. I don't think it's quite been a month.
It has been forever. A month.
It's been a month. Wow. Dang, time flies.
It just flew by though.
It was my birthday when we did this last. It's been a month.
Dang, that's right.
Wow.
That is. I just started teaching, like the school year had just started. We're a month in the school year. That's crazy. So we're 6 weeks in. So here's all the things that kind of happened. And I'm sure there's more, but here's some of the things that came to mind. So here's some things that happened since our last podcast. The PS5 price release date was announced. The NFL started. Trump got COVID. The Monster Hunter movie, which was supposed to come out by now, got delayed 6 months later, but now it's coming out in December. Resident Evil is now having a series coming to Netflix. Genshin Impact is out, and that's what Vic's playing. More on that later. There's pumpkins all over the place in Animal Crossing. Final Fantasy 16 was announced. There's still no Grand Theft Auto 6. Movie theaters are closed again. They tried opening with Tenet, failed, closed again. Isaiah is still having hurricanes. Ken started training with D-Bell, and he is pretty much killing him over there. The Walking Dead finally came on after about 6 months. I've been binging unhealthy amounts of TV. Vic has taken about 1,000 pictures of Genshin Impacts for us to see. Monster Hunter Rise and Stories 2 was announced for Switch. Thank God. We have a new logo too. So that new logo is going to be on this first episode of the podcast. And now we found Drew. I was going to say we still don't have Drew, but Drew's here. So Drew's here. and yeah. So I think I pretty much summed up what we have missed in a month. Main things. I'm sure there's more. But yeah, when we come back, we're going to start delving into some of these things, starting with Vic giving us a overview on Genshin Impact, because from what I see, I know I read a little bit about it and it looks like Breath of the Wild, but I know Vic probably knows a lot more than that, and he can tell us about Genshin Impact when we get back, and hopefully Drew will still be here.
I'll still be here, yeah. I'll be around.
DOT will be right back.
Love our Discord chat, because we have some things going on in the group chat too sometimes, and you never know what's going to happen with things. So Ken was telling, Ken, if you were listening a few months ago, we had my boy D-Bell come on, and he was talking about his new fitness program he has. And he's been doing a great job putting videos up there. He's like doing handstands on his head and, you know, against the wall and doing stuff that I'll probably never, ever do. You know, he's doing all these crazy stuff, but he does a great, he's a great trainer. He's an awesome trainer. I've been working with him since April. We'll probably have him on again at some point. But recently, Ken has joined the troop of Coach JD's training. And Ken, tell us, how is the training been going, man? You are you seeing results? Are you feeling the burn?
Oh, I'm feeling the burn. I feel especially this week.
Well, what happened this week?
This week, it's like we just went a whole new level, and I was like, oh Lord. Because so he has you do a baseline, see, you know where you're at in your fitness. And he was like, "Oh, you're actually pretty good in the level of fitness." He said, "We might be able to go faster." I said, "Okay." So the first 4 weeks, I was like, "Oh, this is nice." You know, I get it's not a heavy sweat, but it's a sweat. And then that next thing, you know, this week it was a straight push up, the burpees, and I was like, "Oh God." But so the first 3 weeks, I was feeling the burn, you know, endurance is improving. And I was like, okay, but the number on the scale didn't move and the measurements didn't change. I was like, oh, man. Because no matter how hard you work, you can't outwork a bad diet.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
So I started cleaning it up middle of last week. And so now stuff is finally moving. So hopefully, I don't want to let them down. So, you know, I was like, I can't let them down. I got to clean this stuff up.
Yeah, I got to fill them logs out, man. Fill them logs, right. Input those calories.
Yep. My coworker is like, hey, you want to go to Jersey Mike's? I said, no.
Oh,
not
man.
Today.
Gets you every time, man. I understand all of that, man. So I remember that baseline. But we were talking about insanity as well. And Isaiah, you were saying you had your tries with insanity, Vic said he even tried it too. So Isaiah, what happened with you and insanity, man?
A friend of mine was doing it like several years ago, I think like 2013 or something. And, you know, he gave me like all the footage for it, and I tried it myself at home. And I think I only lasted like a week or two. Because you start off the training, right? Or you start off the video, you know, you get like right into it. So like you're jogging in place, you're jumping up and down, touching your toes, doing push-ups. And I'm here, I'm like sweating, and eventually my shirt is off, I change into shorts. There's like, I'm like dripping sweat that I'm like practically making a puddle underneath my feet. And like 20 minutes go by and I'm dying. And all of a sudden, my man, Sean T, he says, all right, guys, that was just a warm-up. Now for the actual workout. And I'm like, yo.
Yeah, that's the same damn experience I had. This,
man. Oh, man.
I was like, no, I'm done. Screw you.
Yeah, it's like only like 15 or 20 minutes. I think the whole thing is like an hour. But already like 15 minutes, you're drenched in sweat. And like that's just the workout part. And like, man, like the first couple days, like I don't even think I finished it. Like the first couple days, like it took me like a week to finally finish workout. I made my decision that
nah,
I ain't gonna dig that deep. It's funny because Shanti would always say, dig deeper.
I know. Yeah, that's the exact opposite of what my doctor told me. My doctor always told me, you should always start with what you can do. You know, don't just go diving straight into it and you know, the hardest workout, because then you're going to kick your own ass. And then because you're feeling that, it's not a good motivation to come back to it.
Right.
So you should always start slow and start with what you can do without overexerting yourself. And then eventually it becomes a habit. You habituate yourself to it. So then it becomes routine. And then eventually you build up your strength over time.
Dig deep. Yeah, yeah. Dig deep from the beginning. Dig 6 feet under right when you begin.
So that's exact opposite of what my doctor told me to do.
No, that sounds right. That's like, it sounds like you're supposed to just increase it as you go, but I guess it's not called insanity for a reason, right?
Yeah, hey, my doctor is from Walter Reed, so you know.
Oh, hey, isn't that where our
oh. Yeah, because when I was still, a dependent when I had my biopsy and everything, all that stuff.
Oh man!
I had Walter Reed take care of me and cut me open and everything. The nurse is really nice to me too.
Nurses are.
I know I freaked her out a little bit though, because she's like, "Oh, it won't hurt when the IV is coming out of your hand," and I'm like, "That hurt a lot." And she's like, "Oh, my bad." He's like, "You hurt my feelings." He's like, "I thought I was the best." Like, no, that hurt. That hurt so bad.
It was real weird.
That's better than when I first donated blood. So they had us all lined up in the gym donating blood. And then he's like, "All right, you're about to be done." And then they go take the needle out of the dude next to me. Next thing I just hear, "We got a bleeder." I'm like, "Oh."
No, man, I had to get my blood drawn so much back then. There's this one person, she kept missing my vein. She just like, "Boop. Oh, that's not it. Oh, nope. Oh, that went right into your muscle. Oh, that hurts." That must have hurt. I was like, "Oh my God, that hurts so much," but I didn't say anything. I was just like, "Yeah, it kind of hurts." So like, yeah, I spared their feelings. That lady gave up. She was like, "I can't do it." So she called in someone more experienced. It was a Filipino dude. And he was like, "Hey, you're Filipino?" I was like, "Why, yes." He's like, "I got you." And then he hit my vein the first try.
All Filipinos know where their veins are. It's like, I can relate to that, man. Because it's like when you go to the, as black folk, when we go to the doctor, we know, "Oh yeah, the needles, man. It's gonna be the needle. Yeah, let me give the good one. Okay, the one that's not gonna hurt too much." Because you know, black folk, we don't do needles, man. We don't do that. We don't do that sharp stuff. So it's like every doctor you go to, if you see, you know, one of yours, you know, they got you. They got you.
Yeah, have you ever felt a needle go straight into your muscle? Like completely miss all your veins and go into your muscle? It's like the most resistant thing possible. I'm like, "Whoa, this is not normal." It's like as it was going into my muscle, I was like, this doesn't feel right. This feels totally wrong. But I didn't say anything because I had faith in this lady.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely had the intern that day.
that's what my dad told me when I told him the story.
Oh man. All right, when we come back, we're gonna get into Genshin Impact. I'm watching Vic play Genshin Impact, and Ken, you play a little bit of this too, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so when we get back, we'll go inside the Genshin Impact.
We'll be right back on the Diamond of Truth podcast.
Monster Hunter Rise was a big game that was announced a few weeks ago. Nintendo, everybody pretty much called it too. Like they had announced a direct. Everybody was pretty much spot on with the Rise being announced. And
yeah, there was leaks that happened the day before it. I was so pumped for it to be confirmed. Yeah. I was jumping up and down when I saw it.
It was hype. I was literally teaching my second grade class. We were dancing and doing stuff in the class. I had it on my TV. I literally just stopped and opened my jaw. My kids were just looking at me. "Mr. Boysaw? Oh, hey guys. Okay, yeah. One and two and..." Because the direct came on.
Yeah, that trailer tricked me at the beginning though.
It did.
I thought it was Okami. I was like, "What is this? Is this Okami?" Because the Palamute, it looked like it could have been Okami, like something related to it.
Yeah, it did. It looked real Okami-ish, and because it looks completely different from from World. It's not the same setting or the same era. It's different. I think it's more of a Japan feel to
the theming of it is very Japanese.
Yes, and I love it. And when it was announced and the release date came out, it's coming out in March. And it was funny, I was watching it, and my wife had came down when she saw me rewatching the video, and she was like, I said, what? She's like, you're gonna get that, aren't you? I said, of course. I have like 1,000 hours in World. Of course I'm getting this.
She's like, is that a question?
She's like, well, what else happens in March? I said, Monster Hunter Stories 2 comes out too, I guess.
No,
I
can't. No.
She was like, oh, I know that comes out in like June. But she said, no, what else? I said, oh yeah, I'm gonna be a father. That's right. I'm gonna be a father in June.
That was my first thought when I saw the release date came out. I was like, oh man, Virgil, he's gonna have to pick.
Yeah. Oh man. Luckily, babies sleep a lot in the early stages when they're born.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, but yeah, that game is definitely being gotten. So with that being said, let's talk about Monster Hunter Rise. This game looks very, very good. As opposed to, it was good that they're working on this. They've been working on this apparently for four years. So yes.
It's before the Switch came out.
Right. Even before Switch came out.
And they even had an influence on how the Switch was made. Capcom, they asked Nintendo to make the RAM 4 gigs. Specifically so they could run it on the RE engine.
And that makes sense because this game looks lovely on Switch. Like it's a game and the cutscenes look amazing. The gameplay looks amazing. Like it's like a game that would probably look nice on, of course, on the PS5 and Xbox still, but this game looks like they really made it for Switch.
Oh yeah, it was built from the ground up for the Switch.
Yes. The Palamutes, I think, is probably my favorite thing. There's so many things to go into with the wire bugs, that's what they're called.
Yeah.
Those things look awesome because it adds a whole new element to the fighting aspect of the game with using it for combos, the different moves that are going to be in the games. We don't know if it's going to be like a hunter art style or if it's going to be like weapon specific moves like it was in World. But in the monsters so far they showed off look amazing. Like it amazes me how long the series has been out. They still make awesome looking monsters. You would think they would run out of ideas, but like it's amazing. This game looks awesome. Like I was watching a video, I think from Arx, put something out. He did an interview with the lead guy who did World, who's also in charge of Rise. He was saying it's going to be more of like Generations with the 4-player hub system as opposed to the 16-player lobby. So it's going to be more in that era, but it's still going to have like the World where you can do a SOS. So you can still join a quest. So you don't have to, but there's also going to be like village quests. And there's also going to be the multiplayer quest you can do. The events are going to be downloadable instead of like once a week or two weeks. You know, it's taking elements from both World and Generations era of games. So it's going to be an awesome game. I think I've watched the trailer a million times. So the Palamutes I love. You can have a Palamute, you can have a Palico together. You can change their, but the Palamutes are more attack style, right, Vic? Are they more of an attack? Are the Palamutes more attack and the Palicos are more support, right? I think they said the Palamutes are more of like, you can set them as a being focused on attacking.
All I know is you can ride them.
Yes, that's the coolest thing, that you can ride them. Because as opposed to Generations where they had different zones, you know, you have, this is open world. So you can ride the Palamutes anywhere. You can go throughout the whole zone on your Palamute. You know, I was hoping we could ride the Palicos too somehow, but I guess that's not going to happen.
They are not big enough.
Oh, Lord.
I gotta play this. This looks amazing.
It does. It's. I think this game is going to definitely capture those that haven't played World or didn't. And I was reading a lot of people that are on the forums in the comment section. They're like, "I have to buy a Switch to play this." Well, think about the Switch users that didn't have a PS5 or Xbox or a PC good enough to play it. That would, you know, it's like Nintendo and this Monster Hunter game is serious. Monster Hunter is really a portable series, right? Like it's more of base for portability.
Historically, yeah.
Historically, right. So it makes sense to have a Switch separate as opposed to a world port. And this is
They don't remember that there's two teams from Monster Hunter. So this is the first game from the B team since Generations. So we're actually on track right now. You know how Call of Duty has multiple teams?
Right.
Yeah. So same thing here. This is what's happening. So when the world was the A team, that's why everything was like big budget, big everything. You know, they're going for maximum specs and everything, all that. But the B team, they're more on the spin-off side. So they like to do things more on the portable side and make things look flashy. That's why there's a lot of flashy moves in here. And, you know, and the theme of the whole village is like very stylish.
Mm-hmm. It's very stylish. It kind of gives you that, like, there's a village in Generations that kind of reminds me of. I can't remember which one it is. It gives you the feel of that because there's different.
Ikumo?
Yeah. The Ikumo one looks kind of reminiscent of that. But yeah, this is definitely going to be a great addition. And then Stories 2, which we'll try to talk about later, which don't want to forget that that's coming out too, which also looks pretty cool as well. Vic, you already pre-ordered it, right?
Oh, yeah. The collector edition, the $100 one. I was like, I ain't playing around with this. I actually subscribed to Wario64 because of that stupid PS5 incident. So as soon as he tweeted out that the collector's edition was ready on Amazon, I was like, hell yeah, slap that down. I got it locked and loaded, man.
Definitely. So that's going to be a game that comes out March, sometime March. I forgot the date, exact date for it. But we'll be talking more about this as more info comes up, as monsters are announced, more gameplay. So we'll be covering that heavy. But the next big Monster Hunter event coming out is in December.
Already came out.
Oh wait. You talking about Vitalis?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought you were... We completely skipped over that.
Vitalis. I have tried killing him. I mean, fighting him. Complete fail. It's God dang. We need to try it so we can have our analysis on it. But yeah. Oh my God. He is insane. The last update for it came out, I guess, a week or two ago for Vitalis. But they weren't kidding when they're saying he's like the end game. And I think the best part of that update is that all the layered options are open. So you can use any armor you want as a layered armor. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, Cool Bay's out there, Electron.
I live for Cool Bay.
That is some sweet armor for his master rank. It pretty looks sweet.
Yep.
Yeah.
But and the boobs grow too.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
They do have a little jiggle system to it as you turn too. So, so enjoy the Cool Bay armor. But let's get into Genshin Impact. So Vic, tell us about this game. This game has really been picking up steam throughout the last few weeks since it came out. It's out on PS4, I think PC. It has crossplay, I think, and cross save. And it's supposed to be coming on Switch at some point. Yep. But a lot of people are saying it's really close to Breath of the Wild. So what makes this game different from Breath of the Wild, and what makes it like its own game?
Man, this game is like Breath of the Wild and Xenoblade and Nier, all just like packed into one. It's like this, like with Breath of the Wild, I feel like one of the main complaints you could say is it doesn't really have a story or world that feels super lived in. Like it almost feels empty. This game has cities and whole stories and cutscenes, and just the world feels lived in, and it's very enjoyable. Like I've been enjoying the story, but I'm not touching the story now because I don't want to be caught in cutscene hell and completely miss all the dialogue.
Yeah, I saw that certain parts in the game where you can only access it as you level up, right? Like you can't. There's certain zones you can't go to. Okay,
it's a time gate kind of thing.
So that's cool. So I know it's a free to play game, right? And so
yeah,
is it a game that you can play and enjoy without paying
I believe you can, because there's been people who have made accounts and they got all the way through the first part of the Spiral Abyss, which is basically endgame currently, with completely free characters. So it is possible.
Okay.
And those free characters, they actually do compare to the high rarity ones.
Okay. So and it is a multiplayer game. You can play. It's like,
I mean, the game is single player focused, but if you want to later on, I think around Adventure in 16, you unlock co-op. So then you can start working on killing world bosses together. You can start farming domains, which is like mini dungeons and stuff like that. But it's all tied to a resin system for a lot of the things that drop the things that you want. And resin is basically like a stamina, and it's not generous at all, because it regenerates like at 8 minutes per one resin, basically. And you, for like one of the world bosses, requires a full 60, and you only have 120.
Wow.
So if you do that, you can only pick that boss and then like three more activities after that. And then you're on cooldown for the rest of the day.
Okay, so it's time through day. So you were saying this game kind of has Final Fantasy 11 vibes, and you know, we put a lot of hours.
Oh yeah, because of the chaining system. There's elements. Every character has an element tied to them. So like Pyro and Electro and stuff like that. And it's very focused on chaining all your elements together to get big reactions. So in 11 terms, this would be skill chains and magic bursts.
Ah. Give me those distortion.
Yeah. Distortion, darkness, light.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember those, Ken? What was it? Assurance Fist into what Savage Blade? Don't even get me started. I think that's the only two I remember. okay. So that's cool to have those elements into the game. And it's on PS4, it's on PC, it's coming to Switch. No release date yet.
Android and iOS.
Okay. Oh, look at that, Isaiah. You throw it on your Isaiah can play on iOS.
Yeah, I'm actually running two accounts on this game, on the PS4 and the PC Android.
Nice.
Oh wow.
Well, because the Sony doesn't have cross save, because you know, they Sony did their thing. They paid for digital exclusive content on here, so there's like a really overpowered sword that you start the game with that's Sony exclusive, and because of that there's no cross save between the Sony and the other platforms.
Oh wow. Sony gotta do its own thing.
Yeah.
Number two on the Android store right now.
Number two.
Yeah,
5 million downloads.
Wow.
Yeah, this game was really, really popular at launch. And right now there's a bit of a hiccup with the community, because basically it's like Destiny 2 all over again. A lot of people, they rushed through the game at the very beginning. That they did everything within three days or something like that, which is insane, to be honest, because I've been playing this every day since launch and I am nowhere near done with anything. And so this game, there's only two regions currently out of the, story-wise, seven. So if you look at the map, there's like a huge chunk of the area just completely missing. So like there's this region down here, then there's a big blank space here before you get to the next region. So there's supposed to be seven countries, but we only have two so far. And this is going to be an ongoing game, updated, you know, over the year. And people are just complaining right now. Like, they're saying there's no end game, there's no content to do, and then there's a stamina system that makes us not want to grind all day. And then you got to realize, you know, some of this is by design. There's been rulings, you know, with like with gacha regulations, that they don't want people to make it addictive enough to that you would spend your whole time on the game. And they want you to be able to take a break from it, not make your life, do something else. And I'm fine with that. You know, because I mean, with Destiny, that was a different thing, because with Destiny 2, Bungie wants you to play that game and that game only.
Yeah.
For that was their original philosophy. Because, you know, a lot of people are vying for your time.
Right.
But I like games that respect your time. It's like, okay, you log in, you do your thing, and then you're free. You can just wander around if you want, or you can just turn off the game, do something else with your life. Mm-hmm. I like games that respect your time.
Very important, too, because it was like 11 when you started to play 11. They always give you that, don't forget your friends, don't forget your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I can't do that kind of life no more. When we were like nothing but MMO.
I know, man.
For like 10 years, I played nothing but 11. So then when I finally escaped from 11's grasp, I was like, holy crap, there's a lot of games out there.
Oh my God, the lights, the sun. I'm not in Sandoria anymore.
It's like a second death, you know. Like, once you stop playing 11, you died, and then you were granted another life.
There is another side of life somewhere.
That's so crazy.
Well, Vic has sent so many pictures to us. The game just looks beautiful. It looks like it's a game I just like looking at. Like I probably wouldn't be able to be good at it, but it looks nice to look at. So Vic, keep the pics coming of the game. And I'm sure I'll live through you as you play and take pics of the game.
Yeah, this game is not generous, by the way. It's a hard grind because of all the time gates, and the rates are very low.
Oh, a grind, perfect for you, Isaiah. A grind it out game.
Level 99.
Jaden, wake up. DOT is back.
So Ken hit me with a big exclamation mark a week or so ago when he told me that he had the chance to be in the Squadrons beta. Like I'm amazed when people get to be in betas. I try so hard to get into the PSO 2 beta. But I missed it. I always miss the deadlines. Like I get so hyped when I'm like, oh, snap, a beta before everybody can play. And then I just missed the deadline. I just missed the registration. So I get so hyped, but I miss it. So Ken had the chance, and you were about to join the Star Wars Squadron, which just came out like a week or so ago, which looks pretty cool. But you didn't do it. What happened with that?
So, as you guys know, good sir. Our other member took over my PlayStation account. But transferred everything to my new account except for that one. So they sent me an email still, and it went to my new account for my new PSN. And I was like, all right. So I signed up for it and had everything set up, ready to go, right? When I get there, it said this is not the account that's associated with this EA account. I said, oh, I forgot. It was on the old one. So what my plan was when, you know, he had to go to sleep, I would log on and on my old account and start playing. But since they sent it to the new email, which is attached to my current PSN, they're like, this is not the PSN, it's associated with the email we just sent. I was like, oh my God. So I gotta figure that out if they ever invite me to do another beta.
EA is kind of crazy with their account info, because every time I play Madden, a new Madden, I have to reset that. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's weird. EA.
EA.
It's
well, at least it's not the only beta that you've ever gotten into, Kenny.
No, I forgot what the other one I did.
You forgot already? I was with you on two of them, buddy.
Yeah, I know Anthem was one. What was the other one?
Oh yeah, Anthem.
The failed. All right, so. Me and Kenny were in the closed beta for Warframe. And we were also in the closed beta for A Realm Reborn 14.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because weren't your characters in that big?
You weren't with me on Anthem?
No, you did Anthem on your own. And then you were like, oh, man, yeah, I can see this being pretty good. So then I got hyped up and I pre-ordered the Digital Deluxe $100 edition. And I got trapped there by myself. I'm like, what the hell am I doing in here? This game sucks. I mean, I love the game's, you know, core mechanics and everything, but there's just nothing there in the game to do. And it's just so unforgivably hard solo. And I'm like, what is this crap?
Yeah, so I thought the thing with that, when I tested that game, I was like, all right, there's a little, you know, mechanic bugs in here. But I was like, yeah, you know, I only got to play one mission, and you get to play it over and over again. I'm like, that's not too bad. The bugs were like, I get stuck flying into a wall, or half my body is into a wall, and I'm like, all right, I got to reset.
You know, the movement in that game is beautiful, and it's just, you feel like Iron Man. It's like they captured it perfectly.
Yeah, that game has so much promise.
That's the mission you play. That's like where the story ends in the actual game.
You know, I feel like Facebook these days is for people like us now, like our age, like we migrate over. It's like when you hit a certain age, you migrate over to Facebook. You just don't worry about all those other social media apps. But Drew, I gotta say, you're honestly a good follow on Facebook, because I do laugh at a lot of stuff you post, but I'm looking at this last post you did about the seriously best pastry I've ever eaten. Now, I've been to Baltimore a lot, and I've not found good pastry in Baltimore. So what is this pastry you have?
Yeah, man. There are two places. That one is from this place in Hamden called Foraged Eatery. And basically this guy's been like a mushroom forager for a long time. He's worked in the food industry for like 30 years. He's been cooking food professionals since he was like 15 or something. And he's just like making some of the best food I've ever had. And it's not crazy expensive. And I can walk there in like 5 minutes up to Hamden. Like,
nice.
It's so good. But that pastry was a mushroom hand pie. And so it's like mushrooms that he foraged like that morning. And just like the most perfect pastry dough that I've ever had. I could not believe
how good it was. What's in a hand pie?
I'm not actually sure what the definition is, but it was like a pie, you know, like as big as your hand, I guess.
Well, that's the best. Sometimes food tastes better when you don't know what it is. And I can honestly say that's the truth, because there's been a lot of times when we were younger and we would go over to Vic's house. I didn't know what I was eating, yep. But it tastes good. Oh, man. All right, guys, let's wrap up. So game five tonight. So who's winning? Drew, who's winning game five tonight?
Oh, man, definitely Lakers.
All right, Isaiah. All right. I should have asked Vic that question first. Isaiah, who's winning game five tonight?
I actually watched the last game, and oh man, I know they're wearing like the Mamba jerseys tonight, the Lakers, right?
They are.
I don't know. I have a soft spot for the underdog, so.
All right, get out of here.
No underdog story here. So you got the Heat tonight.
I'm going to say the Heat.
Yeah. All right. All right, Vic, who's winning game five tonight?
Hey, you think I know what you guys are talking about? I don't know your sports.
It's okay, Vic. I didn't know who was playing.
It's crazy because I don't even follow basketball, but then like...
See, I didn't even know you guys were talking about basketball. Who said anything about basketball?
Thanks for listening to the Diamond of Truth podcast.
We just talk right there.
All right, Kenny, what's going on?
I don't know. I don't want to be cheek to cheek.